This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Hello, all you godless infidels. I'm Dan Barker, and this is radio as secular as our Constitution.
In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking. Now heaven knows anything goes. Good authors, too, who once knew better words, now only use for leather words, writing prose. Anything goes.
That's the Count Basie Orchestra playing the Cole Porter song, Anything Goes. Cole Porter, who was born on June the 9th. Today is the June the 9th, 2012 show of Free Thought Radio. And Cole Porter, we've talked about him a lot on this show. Cole was an atheist, and he was gay. He had to come out of two closets. He was born in 1891. So listen through the rest of today's show for more of Cole Porter's music. I'm Dan Barker, as I said, and usually the show starts with Annie Laurie Gaylor. And why is she not here, you might be wondering? Well, the gods have smitten her life, or if not the gods, because there are no gods, maybe a little spider has done it. Annie Laurie's wrist swelled up, apparently from a spider bite or some horrible insect bite. She was in the emergency room more than once this week. Her left hand is swollen and painful and itchy. The doctor told her, don't go to work today. Don't come in. You need to stay home and take it easy. So thank all of you godless listeners for not praying for Annie Laurie Gaylor as she recuperates from apparently... The doctor suggested it might have been a brown recluse spider, whatever that is. Free Thought Radio is produced right here in Madison, Wisconsin. And it also broadcasts in a number of markets around the country. And we, of course, podcast all over the universe. This show is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. The Freedom From Religion Foundation, of which Annie Laurie Gaylor and I are co-presidents. We have two purposes. The first one is to work to keep state and church separate, and we do that through lawsuits and legal activity and complaints. We have more than 10 lawsuits in the courts right now. And we also have a second purpose, and that is to educate the public about the views of non-believers. So you can find out more about the foundation. We hope someday you will join us. As John Lennon says, we hope today you will join us. The work takes a lot of energy. It takes money. It takes members. We have more than 18,000 members now. I think 18,600 the last I checked, and we're growing fast. And we would appreciate your membership as well in the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Now, we're fighting back in one way. You heard us talk last week about the Catholic Church's assault on freedom. And yet the Catholic Church, the bishops, are calling this assault on our secular country a stand-up for religious freedom issue. They've created a brand new coalition in an attempt to stop the Health and Human Services mandate. This stand-up for religious freedom, or this misnamed stand-up for religious freedom, it's led by the Pro-Life Action League and Citizens for a Pro-Life Society. And they have established a nationwide effort to stop the HHS mandate. So we're going to be fighting back. You can go to our webpage and get involved and see our own webpage, Stand Up for Freedom From Religion. Put women's rights over bishops' wrongs. Do you think the Catholic bishops should have veto power over women's contraceptive health coverage? They think they do. The Catholic bishops are waging a war against HHS's mandate. They're starting in August to ensure that U.S. women workers have contraceptive coverage, the HHS mandate. In a colossal power play, the bishops are seeking to impose their narrow religious doctrine on many of America's employees, whether or not they subscribe to the Catholic faith. But the louder the church cries an assault against religious freedom, the harder it's working to take away reproductive freedom. While the bishops preposterously portray themselves as victims of an attack against religious liberty, in fact, they are the ones, they are the threat to religious liberty by seeking to impose their irrational belief on everyone else that contraception is sinful. Of course, we know that most Catholics in America disagree with the Pope. I wonder how many bishops scratch their head as they go to church and they see these families with maybe two children. I mean, don't they realize what's going on in their congregation? Well, you can help us fight back. Join the foundation. Well, we have a campaign of our own, Stand Up for Freedom from Religion. We have a new billboard that's going up called, and you can see it on our webpage, it's red, white, and blue. It's called Quit the Church, Put Women's Rights Over Bishops' Wrongs, Freedom from Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. We also know that the bishops are planning what they're calling a fortnight for freedom leading up to July the 4th. They're having rallies around the country. Some of us, we're protesting here in Madison, Wisconsin at some of the rallies they're having at the federal courthouse. And there was a protest yesterday on Friday, June the 8th. And members around the country will also be holding their own counter pickets to protest the bishop's actions. So stay tuned for this issue. And one of the ways we're fighting back is we produced a 30-second radio ad as well as a TV ad. And we'll tell you more about the TV ad later, but the radio ad was produced by Julia Sweeney. And Julia Sweeney has agreed to help us fight back. Julia Sweeney, who herself was a Catholic, and most of you know who Julia Sweeney is, the actress. She was on Saturday Night Live for many years. She's been in a lot of movies. And let's listen to the radio ad. This ad's going to air, by the way, in the next week or two on Randy Rhodes' radio show, so you can hear it there, but we'll be airing it in different places. This is Julia Sweeney.
Hi, I'm Julia Sweeney, and I'm an atheist and former Catholic. I even wrote a play about it called Letting Go of God. Right now, Catholic bishops are using their considerable influence to deny women contraceptive rights. Please join the Freedom from Religion Foundation and help keep church and state separate. You can call 1-800-335-4021, that's 1-800-335-4021, or visit ffrf.org to stand up for true religious freedom.
And thank you, Julia. If you haven't seen her play, by the way, Letting Go of God, it is poignant, it is moving, and it is hilarious, telling her exodus from a devout, believing Catholic who thought about being a nun at one time in her life to being one of America's most outspoken proponents of free thought and reason and science. Later in today's show, we're going to be talking with Sam Brower. He's the author of an very interesting, very moving, actually very haunting book. He's a private investigator who's looking into the FLDS issues. His book is called Prophets Pray, My 7-Year Investigation into Warren Jeffs and the Fundamentalist Church of Latter-day Saints. He's the guy who served the summons and talked to everybody. He's the investigator who knows what's going on behind the scenes in this horrible cult led by this truly evil leader named Warren Jeffs. So that'll be in the second half of today's show. In the news, you've heard that we were complaining about prayers at city council meetings in Hamilton County, Tennessee. That's where Chattanooga is. And they're apparently refusing to budge. They're going to go ahead and pray. But there was a news story about our complaint that resulted from some local residents in Tennessee agreeing with us, joining our complaint and showing up at City Hall to say they should not be praying at City Hall to the name of Jesus. Here's a clip from WRCB-TV out of Chattanooga.
Good afternoon. I'm Greg Glover.
And I'm Callie Starnes in for Cindy Sexton. In late March, the Freedom From Religion Foundation sent Hamilton County commissioners a letter requesting they stop praying before meetings. Commissioners have made it clear where they stand, but that hasn't stopped local residents from voicing their opinions. Channel 3 Eyewitness News reporter John Newland was at the county commission meeting this morning and joins us now with details.
Callie, last week, commissioners told me they would only stop praying if a court ordered them to. Otherwise, praying in the name of Jesus will continue, even if more residents are voicing their opinions against it.
County Attorney Reuben Taylor began Wednesday's county commission meeting with a prayer like always. The commission has been under fire by groups like the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which says phrases like "in Jesus' name" should be eliminated from their prayers. In past meetings, no one spoke against it until today.
You must acknowledge that this is not a Christian commission or a Christian government.
Tommy Coleman asked the county commission to replace its prayer with a moment of silence.
This is not an atheist issue. This is an issue that is important for all Americans, all religions. This, simply put, is a matter of good policy, and there's overwhelming legal precedence for this matter.
Commissioners also heard from those in favor of prayer.
I urge you to resist the devil.
June Griffin heads the Tennessee Committee for the Bill of Rights. She was clear in her message.
And it is a fact that the people of this county honor Jesus as as God.
She proposed the commissioners take a vote and let the residents of Hamilton County decide for themselves.
If the people of this county vote that they don't want prayers in Jesus' name, they will just suffer the consequences.
The commissioners have already stated prayer will continue before meetings unless ordered otherwise by a court.
Now, Coleman was not the only one who voiced his opinion against it. He tells Channel 3 he will continue to fight to replace the prayer with a moment of silence. Live in the studio, Jonquil Newland, Channel 3 Eyewitness News.
So it makes a difference. If you see a violation like this in your city and your county, protest. Go to the meeting, go to the hearing, and express your disapproval for the government interfering on religious matters. By the way, that woman, June Griffin, who said we should resist the devil, we know about her. She was involved in our Dayton, Tennessee case in Ray County, which we won back in 2004. And the last I heard, she doesn't even live in Hamilton County. I think she's still there in Ray County. But in any event, a city government should not be mixing religion with their secular matters. I'm Dan Barker, and as you noticed, Annie Laurie Gaylor is not here today. She's recuperating from what appears to be a spider bite, and she's doing just fine. Little bit of Cole Porter in the background. Stay tuned. We're going to talk a little bit more about state church complaints, and we're going to interview Sam Brower, the author of the book Prophets Pray, about his investigation into the FLDS Church.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker. Annie Laurie is not here, but let's hear from Annie Laurie. Let's listen to a little bit of her speech that she gave at the Reason Rally on March 24th in front of the Washington Memorial in the Capitol Mall in Washington, D.C.
Folks, please welcome the co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation and co-hosts of Free Thought Radio, Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
Well, hello, all you glorious goddamn infidels. In Wisconsin, when we get a group of people together in front of our Capitol, we have a favorite chant lately, and it goes, "This is what democracy looks like." Well?
Well, this is what enlightenment looks like. Tell me what enlightenment looks like. This is what enlightenment looks like.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation is the nation's largest association of atheists and agnostics, and we have 18,000 members, many of you here. And what sets us apart a bit is our tireless work for separation of state and church. We have taken more than 50 lawsuits. We have four staff attorneys who advocate for you and your rights and who have ended hundreds of violations. I think coming out as a freethinker is one of the most revolutionary acts of an unbeliever today. It is time to tell it like it is about religion. The emperor has no clothes. It's time to make known your dissent from religion. And we invite you to join FFRS Out of the Closet campaign. We have billboards and bus signs and virtual billboards. There's an app at FFRF.org. It's time to place our best energies into making this world better, into making this world a paradise, because the only afterlife that ought to concern us is leaving our descendants a secure and pleasant future. And it's essential for our nation to stop clinging to superstitions, to stop giving blind loyalty to illusory religious authority. And most important, it's time for our nation to put humanity above dogma. It's not enough to trust in reason to come out publicly as a non-believer. We must do more. At FFRF, we believe freedom depends on freethinkers. God and government are a dangerous mix. There can be no true religious liberty without the freedom to dissent. We work diligently to ensure religion and the Bible, that grim fairy tale, are not invoked in our secular laws. In fact, next week, we're filing a federal lawsuit challenging Pennsylvania's declaration that 2012 is the year of the Bible. As Ruth Green put it, there was a time when religion ruled the world. It is known as the Dark Ages. Our country faces a choice. Do we choose reason or dogma? Do we choose women and our rights or bishops and their wrongs? Did you see FFRF's full page ad in the New York Times this month? It's time to quit the Catholic Church. That was a lot of fun to put that in there. We choose the doctrine of immaculate contraception. Life begins at excommunication. It is absolutely outrageous that health care reform is being held hostage to church opposition to contraception. No politician should have to genuflect before the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops or kowtow to any other denomination. In this election year, it is time politicians catch up with the changing demographics and start wooing us, seculars, the fastest growing minority in the United States. It is positively disgraceful to see candidates competing with each other to trash our secular constitution. We're secular and we vote. As a new billboard slogan, God fixation won't fix our nation. Because nothing fails like prayer. And we like to tell pious politicians it's time to get off your knees and get to work. Look what Jessica Alquist at 16 has accomplished. If we all hang in there with sweet determination, if we insist that our secular constitution must be honored and revered, if we insist that we must use reason in evaluating religious claims, we will prevail. Reason will prevail.
And that's Annie Laurie speaking, Annie Laurie Gaylor speaking at the Reason Rally on March 24th before at least 10,000 people. Some people said it was more than 20,000 people there. Quite an experience to be with that many non-believers. I'm Dan Barker, and this is Free Thought Radio. On the second half of today's show, stay tuned. We'll be talking with a private detective. His name is Sam Brower. He's the investigator who looked into this radical FLDS church. His book is called Prophets Pray.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker. And as you probably noticed by now, Annie Laurie is not here. And it's hard to do this show standing here all by myself, looking over at this other microphone that's just hanging here in the air. Annie Laurie, it appears that she was bit by a spider. That's what one of the doctors said. Her wrist, her hand is swollen and it's painful. And she's on antibiotics. And she was in the emergency room at least twice this week over it, and it looks like it's getting better. But they told her, don't come to work, don't do anything today, so it's just you and me and our guest. And Dave McCann is our producer engineer here in the studio, waving his hand at this empty microphone where Annie Laurie usually stands. And today, for this interview segment of the show, we're going to be speaking with an author. Well, he's more than an author, but we're going to be speaking with the author of the book. His name is Sam Brower. His book is called Prophets Pray, and that's prophet, like the mouthpiece of God kind of prophet, and pray, P-R-E-Y. We have a little joke at the foundation that sometimes ministers get up and say, let us pray, P-R-E-Y. Well, in this case, this rings very true. This book, Prophets Pray, which has the subtitle, My 7-Year Investigation into Warren Jeffs and the Fundamentalist Church of Latter-day Saints. It's haunting. At night, I'm thinking about some of the stories I've read in this book, and we knew a little bit about the story. We interviewed one of the victims a few years ago, Alyssa Wall, whom I think Sam knows, and we've talked about Warren Jeffson, but Sam is not just behind the scenes. He's up in the front of this issue. Sam Brower is a private detective. He is the investigator who pushed forward these long legal battles against this radical group called FLDS, Fundamentalist Latter-day Saints, and their leader, his name is Warren Jeffs. And Sam was raised in the Mormon Church, in the mainstream LDS Mormon Church. He lives in Utah, and if you want to know more about his book, which I highly recommend, you can go to his website. It's www.prophetspray.com. So welcome to Free Thought Radio, Sam.
Oh, great to be here, Dan.
Well, it's a real pleasure to talk with you. Some of the stories in here, you know, you are the real thing. You are a private investigator. You're the guy out serving the summonses. You're the guy out investigating, digging up the dirt, and working with the authorities. And largely as a result of your work, there have been some convictions. Why don't you, we just have a short interview, but why don't you tell us in a thumbnail how you got into this and where it's at right now?
Well, I originally became involved. I was sitting at home and reading my newspaper. I'd moved from California to Utah, and I really didn't believe there were such thing as polygamists. And suddenly when I got here, found out that indeed there were. And I was kind of shocked. I couldn't believe that, you know, I'm going through a store in town and here are these long prairie dresses and 5 or 6 women that are pregnant with several children tagging along behind them. And it was a kind of a shocking experience. And one day I was sitting at home reading my paper and there's a picture of this guy and he's holding up a copy of Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. And he's saying that he belongs to this community, and his religious leader, his prophet, who is Warren Jeffs, had kicked him out of his home and told him he had to leave his wife, leave his children, and go repent from a distance. And the church controls all the property in that town, and so he's actually a tenant at will, and he did something that was very unusual and decided not to go. And nobody had ever done that before. It was very rare for something like that to happen. So I was curious, and that book, Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, really piqued my interest. And so I jumped in my car and went down there, and actually the man's name was Ross Chatlin. He was very friendly and open, surprisingly, because it's such a cloistered secret community that's hidden, you know, kind of in this little isolated area of the Arizona Strip. And he told me what was going on there, and I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe the underage marriages, that people being required to leave their homes and families being broken up, and all these underage marriages and arranged marriages and all these horrible things that were going on.
Well, and that is horrible, and kidnappings and evictions, but in reading your book, that's not the worst of it. The what you uncovered, really these cases that you are involved with that have gone to court have little or nothing to do with polygamy, but with child rape and with child abuse and the story. In fact, this Ross fellow was kicked out because he actually himself wanted, he and his wife wanted a 16-year-old second wife.
That's right. Yeah.
And it was interesting in the book, you tell how you had to first convince him, wait a minute, 18, by the way, is the age of marriage. You uncovered a lot more than just that. And one of the very first stories in the book, which I thought was amazing, was how you were hounded by these pickup trucks coming into town trying to intimidate you, and you got up and what did you fight back with?
A camera. It's going through those towns. It can be dangerous, and people there feel like it's their community. And anybody from the outside just doesn't belong there. And so they follow you. They'll try and run you off the road. They'll get in front of you and press on the gas, spin their tires, and spray gravel in your windshield and break your windshield. I mean, they'll try anything to get you to go. And so I would just pull over, jump out with a camera, and start heading towards them, and they would usually scatter.
Well, and you're not a little guy. You're over 6 feet tall with a cowboy hat. I mean, you're the Utah, Arizona kind of guy there.
Yeah.
Well, that looks like a movie scene in a movie.
Well, it was different. You know, for being a bounty hunter for so many years, I had. You know, realized that the best defense is a good offense, and they really were not prepared for somebody to confront them. They didn't know how to act when that happened.
Well, it's like they're
used to bullying people.
Well, it's just like the Third Reich, isn't it? One dictator in this community controls everything, and those guys are probably on direct orders from on high to do what they did.
Oh yeah. They all have cell phones. They're in communication with each other all the time. And in fact, that was one of my first confrontations with the police there. The chief of police immediately got on the phone, and I heard him say, "Hello, Uncle Warren," and turned around and walked away. So they're in constant communication with their leadership. And in fact, to this day, with Warren Jeffs in prison, they're still in constant contact with him.
Now, you wrote in your book that even though he's in prison, and his appeals are final now, he's locked up for life, right?
Yeah, he's done. And unless for some mystical, magical reason, the U.S. Supreme Court decides to hear his appeal, which I really doubt very much, he's there for life.
Well, just show the court these pictures that are in your book. Here he is with a 12-year-old bride, Marianne Jessup, and they're kissing. Here he is with another little girl named Vita. Here's this little girl that doesn't even come up to his shoulder, and these are their wedding pictures. And then on this one of these pages, you've got, it looks like a women's choir. There's there's 50 of his 80-plus wives, and they're all dressed in these white tight collar things, and they're all smiling. They're all the wives of this one man named Warren Jeffs.
Yeah.
And in order for that to happen, they have to kick out a whole bunch of young boys in that community. And you write about some of those stories. It's not just the rape of young girls, but it's also young boys who are being abused.
Yeah, you know, it's women and children. You know, the young boys. There's a lot of focus on the girls, but the boys are just treated horribly. I mean, they have no future. Starting at the age of about 8, or even younger, they're out on construction jobs, pouring concrete, framing buildings, doing public work jobs, driving track hoes, and just, you know, out doing hard manual labor from dusk to dawn, or dawn to dusk. And they just work them into the ground. And when they reach a certain age, they start becoming competition for the older men. And so because of the disparity of male to female in that population, you know, there's this disparity when the young girls are going to the older men. So there's this excess of young boys. Something has to be done. And many times they're just discarded alongside the roadway.
Well, that's what happened with Alyssa's brother. She told us that story. They just took him outside and pointed him to Denver and said goodbye.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you've got, you know, if you're lucky, your father's packed you a bag and gives you the bag and says, don't call, don't send us letters. If you try and communicate with us, we'll throw your letters away and we won't take your calls. You're no longer wanted here. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And you turn these guys loose onto a world that they know nothing about.
And
nothing.
Some of them were actually physically assaulted by Warren and others in the church. And you tell a haunting story about two of the boys grew up and basically committed suicide over this. Weren't they 5 years old or 6 years old when this happened?
Well, between the ages of 5 and 7, it was actually Warren's nephews that were raped by Warren between those ages. Two of the, there were four of them, four brothers, that were systematically raped by Warren and others of his family, and they were taken into a bathroom, brutalized, told that it was a priesthood ordinance, that God would destroy them if they were to talk about it, and two of the brothers, Clayne and David Jeff, ended up dying by their own hands, and two survived, and are actually doing a fairly good job of piecing their lives back together, but it just to see how that kind of mayhem affects somebody's life is just so sad.
Yeah, and you write that it would have been just the same as if Warren Jeffs have taken a knife personally and killed those boys because of how he ruined their lives.
I mean, actually, as horrible as it is to say, it might have been even more merciful. I mean, it was just horrible what they went through.
Well, we're going to come back after the break and talk some more about the history of the FLDS. This, by the way, is a very inappropriate song. It's a Cole Porter song called It's Too Darn Hot because it's Cole Porter's birthday today. I'm Dan Barker. Stay tuned for more of our interview with Sam Brower, author of the book Prophets Pray.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker, and we're continuing our conversation with the private detective Sam Brower, whose New York Times best-selling book is called Prophets Pray, My 7-Year Investigation. I suppose it's 8 years now. My 7-Year Investigation into Warren Jeffs and the Fundamentalist Church of Latter-day Saints. And we've been talking about some of the chilling stories. Sam, explain briefly, what's the difference between FLDS and the Mormons?
Well, the FLDS, well over 100 years ago, when polygamy was banned in the mainstream LDS church, decided to break off. They They decided that was not something they could live with, that they weren't going to obey the law. And so they just, you know, a handful of these people broke away from the mainstream LDS church, and over the next few decades kind of recruited a following and finally ended up in a place known as Short Creek along the Utah-Arizona border. They actually really now have no connection at all to the mainstream LDS church. In fact, they despise mainstream Mormons.
Because don't they
call mainstream Mormons the great whore of the earth?
Don't they think that the mainstreams were the ones who broke off, because the original Mormons did practice polygamy?
Well, and that's what they say. You know, they say that the thousands of Mormons that decided to obey the law were the ones that broke off, and that they were the ones that were upholding the true principles. But they say that today, that they're the true Mormons.
Now, whatever we think about polygamy, and it is a serious issue, really, we're talking about children here. We're talking, in many cases, or most cases, children who have no choice, as young as 12 years old, being forcibly married off to these older men. And that's the real crime that's being committed here. Isn't that right?
It is. It's the child abuse. It's arranged marriages. It's the power that comes from these church leaders that are going after young girls. It's a status. These girls are more valuable than a truckload of gold. I mean, they are the commodity.
And it's their young age that makes it a crime. So you're a private detective and investigator, and some of your work led to the capture and conviction of Warren Jeffs, and he's been convicted in a number of courts. But the big one in Texas. You finished your book before the trial, but you said you wanted to go. Did you go to the trial then?
I did. I went to the trial. It was probably the most bizarre trial ever, I think, in the history of the world. In fact, many of my friends in the media were there, and they had just left the Casey Anthony trial. And it just finished up a couple days before Warren Jeffs' trial started. And they all agreed that this was the most bizarre trial they've ever been to. Warren Jeffs fired all of his attorneys, said that they were not qualified to present a true religious defense of the charges against him. And he presented his own just bizarre defense.
Well, he was convicted then, so.
Yeah.
And you write that even from prison, he's able to make phone calls, which are broadcast from the pulpit of his church. Is that still going on?
Oh yeah. I mean, he's having trouble getting away with doing sermons from prison now, but he's still allowed the equivalent of a 15-minute call every other day. He essentially holds court at the prison on weekends when he has visitation. He has a whole list of people that are. It's a religious calling to come and visit him. And in fact, I just received another one of his revelations from prison today, just today. I usually get a couple a week of his just bizarre prisons calling on the President of the United States, Congress, the Senate, to release him, release God's servant. It's very ominous. And he's really taken control of his people. I mean, this having access to his people on a phone has breathed new life into him as of late. And it's a very precarious situation now. I mean, I compare it to something like David Koresh or Jonestown or something like that. It's getting really volatile out in Short Creek right now.
Wow. And, he would be comical if it weren't for the fact that people view him as this ultimately, he's the mouthpiece of God. I saw one of these... What did they call them? Pronouncements or edicts? Supposedly,
yeah.
from the voice of God, and God's got really bad grammar, because God says, "Behold, I cometh," and God should know that "cometh" is third person singular. You don't say "I cometh." So God needs to go back to, oh, well, I guess maybe God went to Alta Academy and only got a third grade.
That's probably it. Yeah, if you go through them, if you pick out about five words that he uses constantly in there, you could probably write one of his revelations.
Well, we laugh at it, but, I mean, the damage and the, you know, the...
Well, that's the thing, too, is, you know, a lot of government officials don't take it seriously. You know, they joke about, you know, well, we got this, and we threw it in the round file.
Yeah.
But the fact is, his people do believe it. One of the last ones I read, he's calling them to prepare militarily, you know, and having all this information, knowing how dangerous he is and what he's capable of, that he has no conscience, no remorse, I mean, no soul. He's an evil man.
Yeah.
To not take it seriously is a huge mistake. I mean, what if we had all this information about David Koresh or Jim Jones
earlier,
before those tragedies?
Yeah.
So far, we've been able to head him off. Yeah. You know, I just hope it can keep on going. We can keep doing that.
Yeah. Well, we've just scratched the surface. There's so much more in your book. We're talking with Sam Brower. And the book has a positive preface by John Krakauer, who wrote Under the Banner of Heaven, which we've talked about on this show. Sam Brower's book is called Prophets Pray, that's P-R-E-Y, My 7-Year Investigation into Warren Jeffs and the Fundamentalist Church of Latter-day Saints. So thank you, Sam. Readers can find out more of these gripping stories, and thank you for all your good work, exciting work, and I hope your life is... going to find some normalcy after a while here.
Thank you. I long for that myself sometimes.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We also want to thank our engineer today is Dave McCann. Free Thought Radio is recorded in Madison, Wisconsin. Find out more at ffrf.org/radio. You can ask for more information at ffrf.org. You can phone us at 1-800-335-4021. Support the broadcast, become a member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and keep listening to Free Thought Radio. Tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday you'll join us.